Turning your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, last book in the Old Testament. And then also Revelation chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. Just put your finger into one. These are not texts that we may necessarily come back to, but wonderful springboards, okay? So let's all stand to honor the word of the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame as the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorability? Or would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. And we'll stop there. And then Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. What we have in those two scriptures is two examples of the way people honored God, one on earth in the sanctuary, the Old Testament sanctuary with the priests. God wasn't too pleased, nor was he too honored. What was he? And the other in heaven by the 24 elders, and which is an excellent honor to God. I want to speak to you this morning on the honor of God. The honor of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people, God, and we ask that today you would speak to our hearts and change our lives. We ask you, Lord, that if there's any way we are dishonoring you, which we being people, there are things that we do, myself included, Lord, we ask that you would cause us to stop it, that we would honor you, reveal to us things that might dishonor you in any way, and cause them to be changed, cause our hearts, our lives, the things that we do to give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, when Judy and I were first married, I think it was over in Clarion. Could be that we were around the kitchen sink, and I don't know if I was helping her wash dishes. Probably not. or if I was just giving her issues or what was going on. She was doing dishes. And she took her hand, was, you know, in the dishwater. She just flicked it in my face. She didn't know what she was doing. Her sisters and her had done that around there, you know, when they were washing dishes and just did it playfully one to another, you know. But to me, it was an affront. And I was just totally dishonored, and my male ego was shattered, and we had issues right there and right then. But she didn't realize, you know, she was just totally unaware that what she had done and how I had received it. Well, over the years, we got over that one. We're still learning to communicate. After all these years, it's still a process, you know. And now she says something, I say, huh? And someday, we're going to learn how to do it. But I wonder how many times we do things that dishonor God, and we are totally clueless. And we just, you know, I know, especially as young Christians, I know as a young Christian, I did a lot of stuff. And there's probably stuff that I may do today that, you know, just doesn't honor God. And we want, and the message of this sermon is that every one of us, we that follow the Lord, ought to want with all our hearts in everything we do to honor the Lord. Paul said, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all to His honor. Do it all to His glory. Whatever you do. And so that's the point of this message today, is that God might reveal Himself. If there's something that we do in our lives that dishonor Him, that might come out. I'm not going to speak probably on any specific thing. I'm just trusting the Lord that He will reveal it to your heart and to your life, to my heart and to my life. Now, we just honored our veterans, and that is so fitting that we do that. People that sacrificed years of their lives, service, made many sacrifices for our country, for our freedoms, I salute you in the name of the Lord. And so thankful for you. The Bible calls us to honor all men. Romans 13:7 says, render to therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so veterans ought to be honored. People that serve their communities ought to be honored. We do that for all so many times in our family. Every birthday we honor somebody. We're thankful they're alive and kicking. We're thankful that they were born. We're thankful that they're in our lives for our anniversaries. We honor people. And it's a good thing. I think today, in some sense, we've lost this sense that we are called to honor people. We've lost this sense of respect for people. If we're Democrat and they're Republican, we don't respect them. If we're Republican and they're Democrat, we don't respect them. Amen. And so, you know, we do that. And so if somebody disagrees with us, immediately. But there's ways we ought to respect all people and honor all people. They're created by God, and they are given to this world and to our lives for a purpose. I ought to watch the way we talk about them. We ought to watch the way we talk about even our enemies, even people we really disagree with. That's what honor and respect does. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't disagree or that we shouldn't speak truth to people, you know, that oppose God or oppose the word of God. There needs to be some sense in all in our culture of right and wrong, and we've lost a lot of that. But we've also lost this sense of honor and honoring people. We've certainly lost a lot of sense of how and we should honor God and serve Him and live for Him. Now, the Bible tells us to honor various kinds of people. We're told in Exodus 20, verse 12, and it's repeated in the New Testament, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives. We ought to honor mom and dad, amen? It's not good when we don't. When we're teenagers, I remember as a teenager, there's a lot of ways I dishonored both my father and my mother, and I'm very ashamed of that today. It will not serve us well as young people when we do that. We're told in Leviticus 19:32 to honor the man with the gray head. I fit that category. And the face of the old man. And I would say older woman as well. Jesus said a prophet is not without honor in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. For those that are preachers and prophets and elders, we're told in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule be accounted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And for them, that's a matter of respect, absolutely, and honor, but it's also a matter of salary. Take care of these people. I can say that now. It's not out of self-interest. Take care of these people. And give them double honor. Do the best you can for them. And you'll be blessed because of it. The church will be blessed because of it. Widows are to be honored. 1 Timothy 5:3. Wives by their husbands. In 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers are not hindered. You see, in a husband right relationship, husbands are told to, wives are told to reverence their husbands, and husbands here are told to honor their wives. See, respect and honor is a key to relationships. Without it, you know, families fall apart. Husband and wife relationships fall apart. I hate it when I hear men talk about the old lady. Or the ladies talk about the old man. In that phrase alone, it is just a sense of disrespect, isn't it? So, honor. It builds confidence. I my wife, over the years, such a blessing to me because, you know, 37 years. One time, she said, I don't think you should have said that after preaching, you know, and one time, and she was totally right. there was a lot of other times, there was things, you know, the Lord convicted me of, But that one time, she and you know, and if I didn't hear something about the message from her, I'd ask her, you know. But Judy could, and one of her love languages is words of praise. It took me a while to learn that. So she receives things, you know, she receives love by hearing words of praise. And she naturally gives love by speaking words of praise. And it has made me confident in so many areas of my life. And I am blessed. I am blessed because of what she added to my life in the honor that she gave. I hope that I have done that as well, because I feel that in my life. I'm just deeper in love more and more, and feel more and more blessed by her as the years go by. So this honor just builds relationships. 1 Peter 2:7 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. So, let me give you one more. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many as servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Let me modernize that. Let as many laborers or employees who are having a job by their bosses count their bosses worthy of honor. A little different, isn't it? What if you didn't get paid? Think of that. Paul is talking to slaves. And he's telling them to honor their employers. Honor is a key to relationships. And so honor is a key to your relationship with the Lord. It's so easy, because God is invisible. It's so easy to forget that he's around. It's so easy to live without him, and so much of the world lives without him and lives without his word and lives outside with him, outside of their thinking. Most of all, we are to honor God. Psalms 49:12 says, a man being in honor does not last. He is like the beasts that perished. The honor of man, no matter what we've done. I used to wrestle for Union City High School and Clarion State University. And you think anybody at Union City High School remembers, has any idea who I am right now? They are totally clueless, you know. I went to the 50th reunion, you know, and one guy says, oh, yeah, Chris, you were the greatest wrestler Union City ever. And nobody remembers me at Clarion. It's ridiculous. Honor just whatever you've achieved. It has a way of, so it really doesn't mean a whole lot. But the honor of God. Timothy 6, 15 and 16 speaks of God and says, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Forever and ever and ever, the honor of God will abide. The glory of God will be around, and he will be honored through the endless ages of time to come and into eternity. He is worthy of that, for he has created us, as we read in Revelation, says the 24 elders around the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory forever and ever. For you have created us. We exist We are sustained by your power. We breathe because God allows us breath. He is worthy of glory for that reason, but he's also redeemed us by the blood of his Son. There's a couple words in the Old and New Testament that speak of honor that is ascribed to both men and God. The Hebrew word and the most one that is most used in the Old Testament is kabod. And it's translated 34 times in the Old Testament to the word honor. 14 times to the word glory or glorify. It means to be heavy, to be weighty, to be honorable, to be glorious, or to be honored. So when you hear in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, it's that word kabod. They gave glory to God. It's a form of that word kabod. They honored the Lord, kabod. It's the way the Hebrew mind would see it, Old and New Testament. Another word for honor is yakar, and it means to price or value, and to put a value on something, or to give, and the more you valued it, the more you honored it. And then a word in the New Testament that is like is tamao, and it means the same thing, to estimate, to fix a value, to honor, to revere, to venerate. The other word that is used in the New Testament is doxa. It's where, you know, out of that comes the word doxology. Praise God from whom all creatures flow. And it means to have a judgment or a view, means to worship. It's translated to glorious or glory, honor, praise, dignity. So when we read the words in Luke 2, and the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, it's doxa. So those are the same literal, you know, have the same meanings as kabod and tamahu. And so an estimate, a price. See, when we honor something, we value and put a price on it. You know what Judas's value of Jesus was, don't you? 30 pieces of silver. Sold him. The jewel of heaven, he sold for 30 pieces of silver. I preached a sermon years ago on the value of Jesus. I was convicted myself. And that day, Jerry Ace came to the Lord. He heard that sermon. He was convicted. He went home and he says, I'm never going to that church again. He said that to his wife. And he went out his door of his house, slammed the door, and left for 3 hours. She had no idea where he was. He came back after that 3 hours, and he told Debbie, he says, well, I did it. She said, you did what? He says, I gave my heart to the Lord. And he was back in service that night. I'll never forget that. The value of Jesus. What do we place as a value of Jesus? Do we love him enough? Do we value him enough to be in his house regularly? Do we value him and his word enough to really read it regularly? To apply it to our lives and try to live by it? Or is it something that we'll pay so much for, and then there's a limit to it? Like Judas, 30 pieces of silver. Or does it have unending value? The honor of God, the value of God, the glory of God. There's specific words that God has given us that we should honor him. And one is in Revelation 4:11. They gave the 24 elders fall down before him, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You weren't created for your own pleasure. You were created for his pleasure. And your pleasure will be best fulfilled as you seek to please him. Because he blesses those who bless him. He blesses those who bless him. He honors those who honor him. We were created for worship. God's word speaks that to us. You were created to honor God, to lift your hands. Lift your hands before the Lord. You were created to sing his praise. I don't care if you sing good or bad. It doesn't matter. Just lift a joyful noise, amen? It gives honor to God. You were created to give a shout to the Lord now and then, to say glory to God. You were created to lift that voice for him, to honor him. And you're something when we all do it together, isn't it? God inhabits the praises of his people, and all of a sudden his presence comes down, and he is there, and you and I know it. As we sang this morning, did you not feel the presence of God? How real. And when you do that, it's just like, I can feel it now. I got a hold of it now. He is there. He comes. We were created for that. And there's a flow of worship that we don't worship him for our benefit. We worship him to honor him. But as we do it, we get so. We are lifted into heavenly places with him. So worship is something that honors God. You and I are called to it. And then the Bible tells us in Isaiah 29:13 that the alignment of our hearts and lives to our lips honors God. Let me read that verse for you. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. To honor God with your lips. How many of you know people that they just gab away, you know? And they're more talk than they are work. They're more talk than they are substance. You know what I'm talking about. So our lips should align, or our hearts and our lives should align with our lips. When the people of God in a church are just going through the motions, when the people of God in the church are just showing up because it's the social thing to do, because grandma and grandma did it. And there's no sense of purpose and love and honor in their hearts for God. And they sing the songs that they're supposed to sing. But their hearts are far from God. And when they leave the Sunday morning service, they do just as they please throughout the week, and they have no acknowledgement of God. Then the presence of God begins to leave their lives. And as that happens more in a church, it leaves the church. And so you go into the church, and you have no sense that God is there. You go into the home of a family and you have no sense that God is there. The children in the family don't get God because God doesn't, they don't feel God, the love of God. The Word of God is not taught to them in the home and is not acknowledged by their parents. And so they don't even bother when they grow older to go to church because they know it's just for show and just meaningless to them. And thus we lose the honor of God in our culture. The alignment of our hearts and our lives to our worship of God. And then God tells us to honor him in our giving. Boy, what a freedom it is for me to talk about giving with no self-interest. I could hammer it home. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with your giving. God calls us to that. And when you do it, he promises that he's going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. Somebody say amen. Amen. He is good. You can't outgive God. Oh, my word. How faithful he has been to me. I can't take time to tell you how in the years when I'm retired, God bless me. You know, the sacrifices that I made at the Christian school when I worked there for 6 years and, you know, just lived on far below what everybody else around me was making. In the first 15 years that I worked here, when I was living far below what everybody around me was making. And God blessed me through this church, so I acknowledge that. But because of those first 25 years, I wasn't catching up. I had no retirement. And I was very concerned about my retirement, and we put more and more in, and the board helped me and so forth. But above and beyond that, God blessed Judy and I supernaturally through things and through family inheritance, and I don't want to go into it all, but it's incredible what God has done. But when I was making $100 a week, I gave 14 of it to the Lord because I thought I've got to give over and above the 10% because all those years I didn't serve the Lord. But I've always tried to give over and above the tithe. And God has caused it to come back to me. Cast your bread on the waters and it will return to you. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't doubt God in that. Trust God in that. Give to Him. Then His word about honoring Him, Psalms 26:8. Lord, I have loved, this is David. Lord, I have loved your the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. Where God is honored, where the glory of God dwells. Psalms 96, verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now, we don't have the temple or the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, and this building is not the church. Who is the church? We are the church. And so it is in the New Testament, it is the gathering together of God's people that is the church. I believe in that. I believe that God calls us together. And this idea of staying home on Sunday morning and watching TV, and you know, for a time it might have been all right during COVID, but I don't think it's ever His will. He calls us together, and there's something that supernaturally happens just when we come together to honor Him in our praise and worship. He comes down. He comes down. Honoring His house. A few weeks ago, I'm going to make a confession. I went on vacation. We went to Bonaire. And I didn't go to church. My brother normally doesn't go to church. We went with him and his wife and so forth. But it was a little bit, could have been difficult. But any time I've ever been on vacation, one way or another, I find to go to church. A few times we've had church among us because it was like in Aruba. It was crazy to find a church to go to. But I go to church on vacation. I don't take a vacation from church. But I took a vacation from church, I confess. And more importantly, I hope God forgives me. I'm confessing that because I've thought about that. And in the last 15, 20 years, it seems as a culture, the culture has run away from church. The cultures run, the younger people have left this sense, this call to honor God, but to come to the gathering. You know what the Greek word for church is? It's ecclesia, the called out ones. You're called out of your homes, you're called out of the community, you're called out to come to Him, to honor Him, and to say, I am here, God, to honor you. And so I just was convicted. And I confess to the Lord and repent. If I go to Bonaire again, I know there's a church I can go to. I'm going to find it. When we used to go to Grand Cayman, there West Bay Assembly. It was a group of black island people, and man, could they worship Jesus. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. I mean, we before a lot of the end of the service, we were going around shouting praises to God. We were marching around the church, and oh, it was glorious. So, all that to say, every time you come to church, you're taking a step to honor God. You're doing that. God bless every one of you. I'm preaching to the choir here. I know it. But I want you to be blessed every time you're here. So I look around and I see people that have been here year upon year upon year to honor the Lord. And God did something in your lives and in this church because of it. He brings His kingdom in that way. Got two stories. And a scripture, maybe three stories. The first is is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'm just going to go over it briefly with you. It's a story in Samuel. You know, Samuel was given to Hannah because she cried out to the Lord before Eli and the priest of the Lord at the tabernacle of God. And God heard her, and God gave her a son, and she promised the Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And so she gave him back to him. But there was a problem in the house of God with the priests of God, and a problem with Eli. And what we read is that in those first couple chapters is that the sons of Eli, as people would come before the altar of God and offer their sacrifices, now they were to be roasted upon the altar, burnt upon the altar, but they were also boiled in a boiling pot. So a portion of it, and I'm not quite sure how this all worked, but this brazen, on the brazen altar, these offerings were sacrificed, but you also ate of that offering as you offered it, whether it was a bull or a goat or a lamb, you ate of that, and that became a meal at the tabernacle for you. And the priests, though, always got their portion. And if you understand the Hebrew dealings with the meat, is they weren't to eat the blood or the fat. And so the fat was generally burnt. And so Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, would take a hook. Well, the normal way was to take a hook, and whatever you got in the cauldron or in the big pot you pulled out, that was the priest's, okay? But Hophni and Phinehas were telling the people, before it go, we don't want boiled meat. We want roasted meat. We want to do it ourselves. We want it raw. And we want to pick the portion that we want, which probably the loin. That's the good portion, you know. So, and the people were really turned off by this, and it turned off the Lord, and it dishonored the Lord. And Eli went to his sons. But what's worse, that some of the women of the people would come to the temple, and Eli and Hophni would lie with them. You understand what that means. And so Eli speaks to his sons, and he says, what is this you're doing? I hear, you know, what you're doing with the meat, and I hear you're lying with the women. You need to stop it. But they ignored him, and they didn't stop it, and he didn't change anything. He didn't say, okay, boys, if that's the way you're going to do it, you're not going to do it. And God sent a prophet to him. And the prophet said to him, if you look in chapter 2, verse 29, and he's talking about Eli's father and how he was chosen, how Eli was chosen in him as a priest in the previous verses. And he says, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded my dwelling place? The prophet says to Eli, and honor your sons more than me, and make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The days are coming, I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And he goes on with the things that are going to happen to Eli's posterity. And you turn the page, or you look at the chapter 4, and Israel has war with the Philistines, and Hophni and Phinehas carry out the ark of the Lord into the war, and the Philistines defeat Israel, and they take the ark of the Lord, and I think it's Hophni's son, or Phinehas' wife, is pregnant, and she begins to deliver, and she dies in giving forth this son, and she calls his name Ichabod, for the honor or the glory of God has departed. Bad name. No one wants to be called Ichabod. And the ark, which is the representative of the glory of God, is taken to the land of the Philistine. It eventually comes back after this. And when Eli hears the news of the defeat of Israel and the taking of the ark of the Lord, he's a big, heavy man. He falls over backwards. He breaks his neck and dies. And after that, though there were priests of the Lord, in the time of David, when Abiathar chooses Abijah over Solomon. He was the last priest to ever serve the Lord in the tabernacle or the temple. And the words of that prophet to Eli were fulfilled. Bad things happen when you don't honor the Lord. Bad things happen when you don't honor. Good things happen when you honor the Lord. Those that honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. So it's so vital that you find ways, beginning with giving and serving and worship, and to say, this is how I honor the Lord. And Jesus, I want to live for you, and I want my life to honor you. Eventually, the ark is returned, but never quite to where it should be until the time of David. And David has built a tabernacle for the Lord. This is the story number 2. And he has defeated the Philistines. He's had a number of conquests. He's been placed, and he loves the Lord. You know the heart of David, you know. It is for God. He was chosen over Saul because God said, I will choose a man who is after my own heart. And the heart of David is to glorify God. The heart of David is for praise and worship. The heart of David is to be in the presence of God. And so he realizes that the ark is not in the tabernacle anymore. And he has a tabernacle in Jerusalem, and he says, we need to get the ark in Jerusalem. So he takes out men, and you know the story of Uzziah. He gets some oxen and a cart, and I think it's Obed-Edom Uzzah. Uzzah is driving the cart, and the oxen stumble, and the cart moves, and he puts out his hand to stabilize it. He's struck dead. He didn't know that dishonored God. Like Judy didn't know that dishonored me. That's why it's important to read your Bible. Then you can know what honors God and what dishonors God. And you want to say, find the things that honor him and do them. Find the things that dishonor him and not do them. Well, David was a part of that, because that was not the way to bring in the ark. The ark was to be carried on the shoulders of men through two, it had rings on it, and those staffs were put through it. And the Levites would carry the ark on their shoulders, two on this side and two on the other side. See, the ark, the glory of God, the honor of God is to rest on His people. We are to carry that in our lives to honor Him. There should be a sense of His presence, a sense of His glory and His honor as we walk around our houses, as we go to work, as we come home to work, as we go to functions at high school, as we come to church, certainly. So David was a little bit afraid. He didn't do much about it for a while. Had another war with the Philistines, and then came to him, "We did it wrong. We got to get the staffs and put them through and have the Levites carry the ark." And so he did that, and he brought the ark to Jerusalem and put it in the tabernacle that he had for it. And as they were doing it, they would go so far and they'd make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he took off his royal robe, and he had a fine linen tunic that he had on, that he wore. You know, it was the common dress. But he took off his royal robes, and he danced and twirled before the Lord. He jumped up and down. He leaped and just had a time to glorify God. He comes back to his home after they make all the sacrifices and give out food to the people from the sacrifices and cakes of raisin and had a wonderful, glorious time. And Michal is there, the daughter of Saul. And she says to David, "How glorious, kabod." The word is kabod. Honor, glory. "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids, of his servants, and one of these base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Now it makes it sound like he's walking around in his underwear. He's not, I assure you. He had this linen tunic on that the priests would wear as an undergarment, but the robes were sleeveless, that the normal royal robes and the priest robes, and they took that off. He wasn't walking around as a king, just a ordinary Joe, a blue-collar guy, without even an outer cloak. Singing and dancing before the Lord. And she dishonored him. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He didn't care that he was king. He took off the royal robes. He didn't need any honor today because it was to him, it was all about giving honor and glory to God that day and every day because his heart was after God. And David said, "It was before the Lord. I didn't do it for you. I didn't do it for people that were watching. It was just simply before the Lord who chose me instead of your father to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. I will become as a child. I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants and whom you have spoken, of them I will be held in honor." It was to glorify God. You know, we are all different. We all worship God different. But our hearts and our worship, we ought to be not caring what anybody thinks about us. Only God. However we worship Him. There's a time to be silent in our worship of God, and there's a time to shout all you can unto the Lord to give him glory. Well, if you look at the next thing in 2 Samuel, verse 7, David's got to take it further. I'm going to build a temple for the Lord. Let's build a temple. I live in this wonderful house. God's living in a tent. We got to build a temple. And he talks to Nathan about it. And Nathan says, great idea, go for it. And then as he leaves, God speaks to him. And he says, no, can't be David. It's got to be his son. Goes back. So he goes back to him and he says, you did good, David, that you wanted to build a house, but it can't be you. But for your son, he can do it. But I want to tell you, you did well that you wanted to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. And they'll forever, I will set somebody on the throne of David forever and ever. And that was the promise to the house of David. It's all of chapter 7. We don't have time for that today. But I want you to see something. Those that honor me, I will honor. Saul's kingdom was cut off, but David's, though they left and he was promised that if they go astray, I'm going to correct them. I'm going to do things. And you see today, there's no king sitting there now, but there's King Jesus on the throne of heaven, the Son of David. Can you say amen? And when Jesus came, and I'm going to conclude with this, if you turn to John 5, verses 16 through 23, Jesus came. He was rejected by Israel. He was rejected by the leaders. They always gave him a hard time. And he had a conversation here in John chapter 5 with them. And it says in beginning with verse 16, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, he healed people. But Jesus answered them, my Father has worked to now, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he had also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said to him, verily I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, that's what the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. He will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For the Father, as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son does not honor the Father, which has sent him. There it is again, that word honor. You know what it says in John, the Gospel of John 1:14? It says, the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. What happened to the ark? It just kind of disappeared. What did God send? He sent his Son, full of the glory of God, full of the honored by God in all that he did, because whatever he saw the Father doing, that's what he did. And God honored him by healing people, by raising people from the dead, by doing every form of miracle that we could imagine. God sent his glory back to Israel by and large they rejected, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to enter into the covenant of David, to enter into the blessings of the Lord, to enter in to the reward of those that honor God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and for your grace today. Forgive us, Lord, when we have dishonored you. I just want you to think right now. Just open your heart, not for condemnation, not so that God doesn't want to beat you up right now. He just wants to open your heart so that you can see there's certain things that dishonor him. If there's something that you've done, maybe it's like me, there didn't go to church, didn't feel good about it. Maybe it's something that you've spoken. Maybe it's you've taken the Lord's name in vain. Maybe you've just spoken harshly. Maybe you've dishonored maybe somebody around you. Just let the Spirit speak to you. Say with me, Lord, I want to change that. I want to change that, Lord. Keep me from dishonoring you, Lord. Make me aware of the things that dishonor you. And let me begin again to honor you, to find ways to honor you. Ways that you've prescribed in your word. Ways that, Lord, give glory to your name. I want to learn to worship you in a fresh and new way. I want to learn to worship you and exalt your name. I want to learn to lift my voice. I want to learn to be silent at the right time in reverence. I want to honor you, Jesus, and I want my heart to honor you. I want my life to honor you. Show me, Lord. Let's all stand today. If there's something the Lord is speaking to you, if you have any kind of need, first of all, any kind of need in your life, then we want to address that today. Just find your way around the altar and others will come to pray for you. I'll be there to pray for you. I want to invite people to pray for one another. If the Lord's speaking to your heart about something, it may be that you want to be free to worship God. Now listen to me. You've felt bound in your worship of God, and you want to be free and let loose. You want your voice just to let it rip sometimes. You want your hands to be lifted up. You want to be free to dance before the Lord. That's a valid reason to seek the Lord in prayer and ask for prayer. And if there's something that you'd say, Lord, I want honor. If you don't know the Lord today, you can begin to honor him by giving your life to him. The sacrifice, listen to me, the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, shedding his blood for you and for I, requires honor. It's a little thing to come forward to the front of the church to receive Christ when compared to dying on a cross. So in these moments, if any of those things or for you, and God has spoken to you in that way, I want you to come.